Yeah, I know. Books sound boring. They just kind of sit there on the shelf. I've heard it all before. Heard all the excuses about not reading that can be heard. But go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow right now and sign up for your free Audible account and get download a free audiobook. Just about anything on the store, nearly 80,000 titles, you can have a free audiobook. So go there, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Get yours today. Do it for us. Do it right now. Was the night before Roab when all through the web, not a listener was surfing, not even the mud monster. Michelle's waist-high stockings were draped on the heater with care. If you don't air-dry them, they'll shrink, in hopes that Colonel Slanders soon would be there.
Ho, 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 y'all.
The hosts were nestled all snug in their chairs, while talk in the chat room caught them unawares. Maymay in her tie-dyed sundress and I in my sport jacket had just settled in for a marathon podcast bracket. When out from the Skype there arose such a tussle, I sprang from my seat to hear the kerfuffle. Away to the volume my fingers flew like an arrow, struggling to turn said dial, because my arms are like a sparrow's. The voice on the horn of the dollar store speakers revealed to any and all Jefferson Ross was our seeker. Then, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature pickup, Eric Tritko was here. With a little old driver so surly and stewing, I thought for a moment, is that Stephen Ewing? Faster than lasers,
pew pew,
his colleagues they came. He hooped and hollered and called everyone by name.
Now Stephen, now Colin, now Mirko and Shelley, on Dolly, on Jeffrey, on Craigie and Benny, to the top of the table, to the top of the ceiling, send the listeners away, every one of them reeling.
The jokes of the evening range from dirty to dry. When they fall on their faces, the sound effects fly. So up to the iTunes, the episodes flew, with a truckload of themes and some great artwork, too.
And let's not forget all the fun merchandise, with stickers and hoodies. I mean, who would think twice?
Great bargains and stylish. Boy, howdy, that's nifty. Just then, Jeff Gilbert made it from News Radio 950. He was dressed in a suit from his head to his foot, his clothes freshly pressed, and we'd hope they'd stay put. A bundle of talent he brought in his throat.
I sound like a god, small g, though I'm not one to gloat.
But a quizzical look he had in his eye.
Don't think I'm nosy, I don't mean to pry. We will be talking cars, right? I just got to ask.
Whoa, this guy's all business. He'll keep us on task. Now the podcast could start, and not a moment too soon. We're only on time once every blue moon. I heard the host say as he started the show, Ben, at last, are we good to go?
This is Roundabout!
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 63, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
God, it's nice having a professional radio guy on the show.
Where?
Jeff Gilbert, WWJ News Radio 950 here in Detroit. If anybody's listened to AM, the AM dial here, they've probably heard you.
Well, thank you for having me. Well, I am honored, but I've not heard this program before, so by the time I'm done, I may not be.
Most likely.
We're so glad you could join us. Thank you for making that arduous drive from Northville to Livonia. What is it, 6 miles?
Six miles at least, but it's cold out there, Marty.
It's uphill both ways, too.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah. So we're so glad you could make it.
And
we appreciate
it. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Of course, joining us live in the studio as well, we have Stephen Ewing from Autoblog.
Hey, guys.
Glad you could make it again.
Oh, of course. I think I will have to say that my drive, the 4 miles it took me to get here, was incredibly treacherous.
Really?
I had to use washer fluid on the rear window twice.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just too much.
And that is the friendly guffaw of Jefferson Ross from down in Florida.
It is so cold down here.
How cold, Jeff? I don't believe you.
It was probably upper 60s down in Miami.
Do you have to rub it in? Do you have to rub it in?
Well, you know, the sunsets just aren't the same in the winter. I mean, it's horrible down here. Someone come rescue me.
You know what, though? Jeff can do this because he did live in Michigan, so he understands
what
we go through.
Only tell he was a teenager,
yeah,
maybe,
but still,
right?
I mean,
yeah, the hard years when your mom makes you go shovel the walkway,
take off
your boots inside the house.
Why is it everybody in Florida is a meteorologist? Because that's the first thing they talk about. Is it like, you know, the weatherman state, like Detroit's the Motor City?
It's the geriatric state.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Weatherman state.
Very true.
Enjoying your Grand Marquis?
It's the state car.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we also have our stalwart Eric Tritko in the studio right now at the far end of the table. To turn my head to the left to see him.
Yeah, with the king's view of the table tonight.
Yeah. I'm looking right at the webcam, no less.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't break.
Yeah, well, they were $8 a piece, so you never know.
Don't look too hard.
And of course, we will have Michelle Naranjo, Miss Motormouth, joining us a little bit later in the program.
She's in transit right now.
Yes, she's dumping her daughter off. Something about Paris or France.
Something. I don't know. Send her to Europe. Just we'll see Henry
get out
again
of the
someday.
House, go. Mm-hmm. So we've got an awesome show planned for today. We're going to the theme this week is our holiday wish list for 2010. So we're going to highlight some of the things we want to receive for the holidays. Non-denominational December holiday, right?
Exactly. Season's greetings.
My first wish was to be on a professional podcast. So obviously I didn't get that.
We couldn't make that happen for you.
Someone give him a
I thought sound effects made a professional podcast. That's what someone told me.
That's why you use them for.
Getting paid makes a professional podcast.
Oh, we'll go there. Somebody spent him a dollar really quick.
They lied.
The first thing we'll be getting to this show will be our holiday picks, but we've also got a bunch of other fascinating stories up for discussion, including the Tata Nano, and it's not selling as well as you might expect. We'll get to In the Garage a little bit later as well, plus another exciting installment of Meet Your Roadmates. Lots of great stuff. But with the theme holiday wish list, I think we can start, Eric, with you. You had two items you put on your wish list, your dream list?
I did. One does qualify as a dream list, and then I decided, well, other than dream even larger, I would be somewhat practical with my second wish list.
Okay. So what's your first? Is the first one the pie in the sky crazy one? Or
a bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's not horribly expensive, but it's not exactly
pocket change
friendly for the current economic unpleasantness.
To
put it nicely.
Yes.
Because it's about $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 2-day driving school down at Barber Motorsports Park through Porsche, where you get to drive a number of different of the Porsche models around the Barber track with instructors and learn how to be a better driver.
Okay.
And I thought, well, Barber's a good track. It's not a great track, but it's a good track. And you get to beat on someone else's car for a couple of days, and it's a 911 and a Boxster and whatever else they might have there for you. That would be a great experience. And most importantly, it would teach you to be a better driver.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Although the snowy Michigan roads... pretty good proving ground for that as well, you know?
And Porsche racing legend Hurley Haywood is one of the instructors.
Yep.
This is true.
So what I really would like to do or have is the one to go to the one that's at the Silverstone circuit in the UK, because that one's, if you see what all the things they have there is really cool. But I figured, well, we'll be somewhat reasonable and keep it domestic. Not really.
No?
Honestly, no.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to do the Skip Barber School once.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, except it was with Dodge Neons. You remember they had the Neon? Seriously.
Oh, they had the Neon Cup, yeah.
And they had a bunch of people. And eventually they ran out of important people and they got to me. And they had me do it. And I was so good that the night before the race, we had this big party. And the instructor met my wife and said, "Your husband must really love you." She said, "Why?" "Because he really wants to come back to you in one piece." I don't think he meant that as a compliment.
You're a cautious, safe driver, right?
I actually remember when they had the Dodge Neon Celebrity Race as part of the race on Belle Isle.
That was the one that I was
okay.
in.
Yep.
And believe it or not, I honestly finished dead last.
Is there a difference between last and dead last?
Actually, yeah.
About 35 seconds.
Dead last was the guy who was knocked out of the race behind me, so that probably was it. Mary Conway from Channel 7 finished ahead of me because I was polite. And Benny Napoleon, who later became Detroit police chief, finished ahead of her, and then everybody else finished ahead of the pack. So three people, two reporters and a cop, the three people who had experienced the most car crashes covering them in their life were the get around me kind of drivers.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that they were all in neons, because I feel like the majority of the driving programs I've ever done in my life were all in, like, Civics or Corollas.
Well, they did take the mufflers off the neons.
Ooh,
so
nice roarty.
Yeah.
Hardy, hardy neons.
Yeah.
So when the head gasket goes, it's easier to tell.
Yeah, right, smoke comes in the cabin. Yeah.
Okay, so the Porsche driving school. That's a pretty good one, Eric. I wouldn't mind doing that myself.
Yeah.
A little out of my price range at whatever, $3,000.
You got to find a way for Blue Sky Productions to go down there to do a feature on it so you can experience it and shoot it.
And for free.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's
Well, isn't that the way all journalists don't do anything unless they can do it for free, right?
That's right.
Or sell it on eBay.
Right.
So you said you had a more mainstream, more attainable selection as well. What have you got on your list here?
Well, the other thing that I really would like is a roll-away lower snap-on lower cabinet that rolls a roll-away lower cabinet.
Oh, like toolbox?
Yeah, but that's, you know, like $6,000. So I decided, well,
it's worse than the Porsche driving.
Exactly. So that's why I went a different direction, but also something useful for the garage that I think everyone could like. And it's a hydraulic vehicle dolly, which basically everyone's seen, if you have more than one car or just even one car and you're trying to move it around the garage, and if all you have is a floor jack, it's a real pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Well, these are pretty cool because you put them around on the outside of the tire and you step on a pedal. It squeezes it together and it lifts mm-hmm. it up. So then your cars, you know, you get multiple of them. You can have either two or four, and your car, you can move your car however you want to in your garage. So I've seen them. They're really cool. They work really well. And at about $85 a piece, it's not an unreasonable cost for something for the garage.
And Craig just added that to his Amazon wish list.
Oh, did
for
he?
The Ford.
Yes.
Comes in handy when you're trying to repo a car, too.
anything about that, Jeff.
You got
right?
the wheel lock on your car?
No, I said when you're repoing, not being repoed.
So, well, Jeff, you are next on the list, and you've got a handful of interesting choices here.
Jeff won.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Well, Jeffrey,
went
not
along the same route. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say Jeffrey, not Jeffery.
Jeffery. Jeffery, and you're Rey. If you really want to be bored, I'll tell you that story.
Well, maybe when we get to your picks,
yeah,
you can explain why it's
maybe
spelled differently. So, Jeff won. What am I looking at here? What the hell is this, and why? Why do you want it?
I went along the same lines as Eric, you know, some pie in the sky stuff, and I saw a posting on Craigslist that said General Lee.
So you haven't been getting anything done at work this week. You've just been cruising the Craigslist.
Right.
That is work.
Maybe if you're at Autoblog, all right?
So I saw a General Lee, $35,000. I was like, oh, this thing has to be gorgeous. Well, turns out it's an AM General 5-ton truck painted with the Dukes of Hazzard paint scheme, which I've always wanted a deuce and a half or at least something like this. This isn't a deuce and a half, but
similar.
Yeah. Just like the big, way too big military trucks. I've always wanted one, but I think it would be cool having one stand out with the 01. I don't think I could slide across the hood like Bo Duke.
You have to have stilts or something to jump
on. I could probably
on.
Slide underneath it.
You know, that would come in handy for the mountainous terrain of northern Florida.
Yeah, the sandy beaches.
Mm-hmm.
My one of my best friends has a deuce and a half. And when I saw the price, I was in shock because he bought an immaculate one from this place in Wisconsin. Actually up by where did they do the fly-in? Oshkosh for like $6,000. And So I saw $35,000. I'm like, really? You're getting that much of a premium for some orange bomb cans? So.
But
it's cool. It's a cool truck. They're hard to drive like in the regular streets, but they're cool. They're cool.
I like the snorkel. Like you really need something. It looks like a snorkel anyway.
Did this guy put an extra zero in there and forget the comma? I mean, is this supposed to be $3,500?
That's what I'm hoping.
I don't see $35,000 here. Sorry.
His name is almost perfect, though. It should be Cletus, not Curtis.
It would be cool to
Cletus,
see.
Cletus, you dipstick!
And Jeffrey, you're shaking your head.
I'm just looking at that going, huh? Okay. I'm thinking $35 myself.
I'm not saying I would spend $35,000 on this, but I could see myself driving something similar for, yeah, $35.
I could see myself driving something similar if I was handcuffed to it.
You were forced to drive it, escaping prison.
If they made me get in with something, a gun to my head or something.
Well, what's your next choice on here? Something a little more tasteful, perhaps.
Well, this is actually not even for me right now because I don't have a car worthy of anything like this. But it's a film that you put on your car to give it like the matte stealth look, and it's really cool. I saw it on a Burnout Radio video.
That's kind of like what we do.
Confused by that.
When you say Burnout Radio, I'm thinking of some disc jockeys I worked with in my early part of my career.
But anyway, yeah. You just put this product over like the regular finish, and it turns it like the matte color of whatever the paint is. And I've seen it in real life, and it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it would look good on a Corolla
or a Jeep Grand Cherokee
93.
I was going to say I love that on their website the car they have at the top where they're showing sort of the transformation between the normal paint finish and then when you put the stealth film on it is a Lamborghini Reventon. So, you know, you've got this really cool car and you're like, "Wow, that looks great," but you know, I would love to see this whole fade on fade off thing with say like a 96 Accord.
Well, couldn't you just save a lot of money and buy a box of Brillo pads and do this yourself? I mean, it's not hard. A little elbow grease, yes, but certainly a lot more affordable.
Yeah, and this costs like $4,000 too, by the way.
Yeah, about $4.99 for the Brillos.
That, true.
Yeah.
But value. You could go all the way down to the metal with the Brillo pad. You don't want to do that.
You got to be ginger. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, Jeff. You could do it, though. What vehicle would you wrap in this if you had the choice? Because I'm sure this looks better on some vehicles than others.
Wow. The video I saw, they did a Challenger, which really looked cool. And I think for some reason I like the matte and like more muscle cars.
See, so, I think this would look really cool on like a Mercedes CL AMG or a CLS AMG. Just one of the, you know, the black AMG Mercedes sedans or big coupes.
Do you get the Imperial March playing as you drive down the road?
I would hope so.
Now, I'm assuming you can't undo this once you've done it, even though it's a film.
It's just like a film. You just rip it off.
Really? And it doesn't destroy the...
It's like InvisiShield for your...
Exactly.
For your iPhone.
You don't... wouldn't you brush it off? Is it like a film on your teeth? Or?
No, with car films, they're not meant to last forever anyway. Like, none of them are. I think
really?
They last, like, 5 years or something, and then you have to replace them.
Okay. Hmm.
But I came up with the perfect car for this, for me.
Okay, what is it?
64 Lincoln Continental.
Hmm. Suicide doors?
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
All matted out.
Yeah. That would look very nice. What color, though? Black?
Yeah, black. So once Roundabout starts paying, that's where my money's going.
Let's talk to my buddy Tommy about that, because he's got a 65.
It's a beautiful car. Beautiful cars. So your last choice, Jeff.
My last choice
is even more obtainable.
It's very obtainable.
And might I point you in the direction of Eric Tritko at the end of the table? He could help you out with this selection.
Yeah, I should talk to Eric Tritko after the show. This is the GoPro camera. What?
Oh, I think Eric pulled a trick on you.
Doon doon doon.
Oh.
Onboard TV does not sell GoPro. We sell Contour. We sell the HD Pros. Contour's better.
Oregon Trail, Ben.
Okay, why don't you tell me about this then? what is my wish list, Eric?
Your wish list has been hijacked.
Well, the other version that you had the GoPro, which is fine. It does a decent job, but just this big box sticking in the air is always kind of... seemed kind of funny, where if you get the Contour one, it's basically a big lipstick camera like that. Now, if you want to step up for like another I think it's $125 more. There's this other one we have, which is the lipstick camera, which can actually go underwater, and it has a whole separate thing, screen, so you can actually see what you're filming, or you can set up your shot, and it has a cable so that, you know, you can set up your cameras, then set up your shot of how you want it to look, and it shoots in 1080. It's got a larger sensor, and you don't get the waviness when things are moving around like you tend to do
jello
with a GoPro.
Effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the rolling shutter effect is
you can basic. Mount this on the outside of a car?
Yes. In fact, the camera part of it will actually go underwater.
Hmm. Cool.
The round part, not the square part with the screen, but the camera part of it is actually, you can submerse it in water.
That makes it pretty flexible.
I just want something I can take video and take pictures while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. And what? I've seen people, they have the full rigs that they put their SLR camera in.
Yep.
And I don't really think that's
you don't want to put $2,000 with a camera on a $50 suction cup mount.
Yeah. No, you know, if you wanted to, I see another use for this. You know, that camera is so small. You could do colonoscopies on the side if you wanted to.
Not with me or
no. Yeah, little side business, you know?
Craig, what you're interested in doing in your personal time has no relevance on the show right now.
By the way, if you use the checkout code Duke, you get free shipping.
What was that checkout code again, Eric?
Duke, D-U-K-E.
I didn't hear.
Yes, Eric.
What was that again?
But Eric, you are a rep for them, right, on
TV. I am the North American distributor for them.
Yeah. I'll call you this weekend, Eric.
No problem.
Well, very good, very good.
OnboardTV.com.
Mr. Ewing, you are shameless self-promotion. You are next on the list.
By midnight tonight.
How much would you pay?
Turning the show into an infomercial.
There it is.
But does it make Julianne fraud?
Oh, God. I was looking. Have you guys ever heard of the Hawaii chair?
The Hawaii chair?
Hawaii chair.
Oh, yeah. It's the one where you shake your hips back and forth.
It's this chair, and the bottom cushion is circular. And it just goes in a circle like this. And you basically do this. And they think the theory behind it is that it will strengthen your core because you'll always be moving. You have to try to straighten yourself to sit upright.
I thought the theory behind it was there were people dumb enough to buy anything.
Well, that too. But it looks absurd because they're selling it as something. You can use it in the office. It's great. And there's this woman trying to like type and she's going around like this.
Wouldn't it be great if they combine that with a clapper and you sneak up behind somebody and go... They start spinning around. Yeah.
See, I think they should sell that in collaboration with the shake weight too.
That's
so
right.
You can do the shake weight while you're spinning in your chair.
And don't forget
it's
to
made
put
by
on
the
your
German.
Snuggie.
Yes,
of course. It's made by the Germans. Slanket. They make good stuff.
You know, as a current and proud Snuggie owner.
No, actually, I am the North American distributor of the Slanket. Thank you.
So. Slanket, I haven't heard of. So yeah,
it's the same.
Educate me. Oh, it's a
blanket
off-brand.
With sleeves.
You see, Jeff, the thing is, it's a blanket and it has sleeves.
Really?
Yes. So that
nah,
way
you're kidding.
You can call your grandkids, you can watch TV and change the channels with ease, and you never get cold.
Wow.
I know.
You can leave the heat at 38. And
you can leave
the your pipes won't freeze and you'll save money.
I was gonna say my heat was at about 38 last night while I was waiting for them to fix it. I put on my Snuggie.
Well, there you go.
Brilliant.
So staying on target, Stephen.
Yes.
That happens a lot, Jeff.
I'm sorry, what?
No problem.
So your first choice, what is this, HPI Racing? Are these some sort of radio-controlled cars?
They are. They are really, really good-looking, what HPI calls true 10-scale four-wheel drive RC cars. And the thing that attracts me to them the most is that they look stunning. They are seriously beautiful.
I don't know whether I want the 911 or the 510.
See, exactly. Like the ones they have listed on the site right now at the top, there's a Porsche 911 RSR, there's a Datsun 510, a Datsun 240Z, and then a Toyota at the bottom, too.
A Paseo?
No, it's
not a
Paseo. Celica. Was it a Celica? No, that was the Corolla FX.
11, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was some form of Corolla
but
back in the day.
These cars are so well done. They look excellent. I mean, the Datsun, both of the Datsuns are the ones that really
catch my eye. The 510 is just so nice looking.
And they're all four-wheel drive. They're
full. No. Wait. So the front wheels, too.
The front wheels and the rear wheels move the car.
Whoa. Run that by me again.
Okay, so here's the thing. Stay with me, Craig.
You're confused. You're talking double speak
here.
The
car is driven, which means it moves by mm-hmm. both the front wheels as well as the rear wheels.
So I think what you're saying is that all the wheels, all four of the wheels in this case, are actually propelling the vehicle.
Basically what I'm saying is okay. These RC cars are the same thing as a Jeep Wrangler.
They can go off-road? They're yes. trail-rated?
Yeah, trail. It's four-wheel drive, so of course it's trail-rated.
So you can disengage the front wheels?
Basically.
It's intelligent all-wheel drive. It's a Haldex system, right?
But these things, they're so good-looking. And I mean, I would almost feel bad using one of them as an RC car, you know, taking it outside and banging it around on curbs.
Yeah, I would end up destroying it.
They're beautiful cars.
Yeah. As a previous RC car enthusiast, let me warn you that it's very addicting and very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm. But
well, and Jeff, you can buy one of these at Hobbytown USA in Jacksonville at 1626 University Boulevard West.
You know, Eric is the Northeastern representative.
Actually, not yet. give me a week.
But if they're listening, you soon will be.
Yes.
Jeff, do you sell any products on the side?
I sell absolutely nothing but myself. And I don't come cheap.
We had to forego the pizza party tonight to afford Jeff's appearance.
Would that be at a courtyard in Novi?
No.
Sorry, that's a very inside joke.
Yeah. Well, what are the prices on these things, Stephen?
It was too cold for an outside joke tonight.
Right. Well, the thing is...
oh, my goodness.
Well, they've got different places where you can buy it. I actually, off the top of my head, don't know the pricing just because I was afraid that as soon as I saw how much they cost, I was going to start saving money. but I can guarantee you that they are very expensive.
Like in the tens of dollars?
Maybe another zero or two.
Jeff, is he saying in the hundreds of dollars? Jeff won.
I would say $500 to $600 range, yeah. Maybe.
These have got to be up past $500.
What is the actual retail price, Ben?
We're not playing that game.
Oh, damn it.
I actually, for the record, cannot find pricing on the site. Yeah. So.
Writer's Hobby Shop in Nipsey.
Okay, there we go.
Well, what did J.P. Morgan say? If you have to ask, come on.
Yeah.
If you have to ask, just steal it.
That's the spirit.
Basically, this is one of those things that I would not purchase for myself, but if one of you listeners...
Loyal listener out there, singular.
Yeah. How about this? For whichever one of you is buying me the Roundabout Show hoodie for Christmas, just throw in the red Datsun 510. Put it in
Fair
the same
enough.
Box.
Fair enough.
If it's in your inbox, just check out with it.
Why not?
Okay, but in slightly more obtainable...
Yes.
...news.
Yes. These, I wouldn't buy these to put them on my car. I just don't think I could get away with something like that, especially because I own a Honda. But these are customizable Euro-spec license plates. And you can get a bunch of plates that are already made up with, you know, BMW or Mercedes or AMG logos on them.
Get umlauts.
Yep, you can get anything you want put on these plates. And they've got the German style, the French style. They've got solid white, solid black, black with red. And literally anything you want to put on there, they'll stamp it as a plate and send it to you. Which is kind of cool. You could put it on, you know, a BMW or a... Hit enter.
I did.
You could put it on a European car. Or what I would do is just... I collect license plates. I do.
So you're like that restaurant, brewery in Ferndale or something, or the menus
the Wab.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, if you ever, you know, notice the plates gone on your car, it's probably me.
My wife has a cousin who collects license plates.
Really?
Honestly. Yeah, I didn't know there were two people who actually
did that. Yeah.
And he will occasionally, if it's something that reminds him of her, he will be so kind as to send her one. So she has one that he found with her initials on it and things of that nature.
Excellent.
No, I mean, this guy's a professional. He's a dentist in New Jersey. And we all know everybody in New Jersey's on it.
It's the honesty state, right?
All right, now here's the next question. Who on the show has actually had a custom license plate for their vehicle?
Ben?
Not once.
Put your hand up.
No.
Oh. He had, did you have a vanity plate?
No.
He had it on his G6.
I did.
The Oldsmobile Cutlass?
Oh, yeah.
Or no, what was it? The 88 you said you had?
The 98.
98.
Yeah. Oldsmobile 98.
It was a good year.
1993.
Good vintage.
1993 Oldsmobile 98. It's very confusing.
So what country would you get from? I actually
did have a vanity plate.
On the Ranger?
No, on
the Danger Ranger?
No, on the 83 Mustang GT.
Yeah!
I don't know. I would probably get one of the German ones. Just the white with the blue stripe on the side, black text.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would have it say. Probably something obscene. But, you know, I just think they're kind of cool, and it's a very cool idea.
And sometimes you do see cars around Michigan here or around the United States that have these kinds of plates. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, where do you find those?
Doesn't our own Shelley have one of these on the front of her Z?
Oh, she might. I think she got a ticket for it.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think so.
She has one on the front of her Z4.
They have front license plates in California.
Yeah.
Yes. This isn't a legal plate.
Dun dun dun. So where did you stumble across this, Stephen? Did you just have this as like a little ace in your pocket, or
this is just something? You know, because I collect license plates, I occasionally search for stuff like this very, you know, randomly, and stumbled across it via Google one day, and I don't know why I haven't ordered one yet, but I'm
treat yourself.
I think I might.
I should get one for my boss.
Why is he/she European?
No, he.
Jeff's trying to keep his job.
Yeah.
Jeff, are you going to get them one that says your text? Like, the display.
No,
I thought that's the only way they came.
Not a 911, a Panamera. It's pretty close. And he has another, it's an authentic European license plate, but it'd be cool to get him one.
F-U-G-G-L-Y.
It says Go Gators or something.
All right, Stephen, your third and final choice is something completely unobtainable.
This is something absolutely unobtainable, but it's, you know, something that if I could have it, I totally would. There's the new Monticello Motorsports Club out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
oddly enough, Monticello, New York.
Monticello, New York. New York. How odd. Most recently famous for Cadillac launching the CTS-V sedan and coupe there.
Well, actually,
that's where they did the CTS-V challenge. And it's a really nice, you know, private country club type feel with a racetrack. You can bring your own car out. And the membership prices are very, very, very expensive.
Actually, stunning.
Actually, here's the crazy thing. It's less expensive than joining the Oakland Hills Country Club.
Yeah. It's the track is fantastic. The grounds are excellent.
I was there for the Saab 9.5. They had invited us out for a drive there. And we pulled in, and it's the attention to detail, like manicuring the lawns and the gardens and stuff. Like, the wood chips seem like they were all lined up neatly and stacked. It's absurdly nice.
They have people for that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But, I mean, the entry-level membership, the bronze, is $25,000, and the annual dues you have to pay are $3,000 on top of that. But if you want the gold membership, that's $125,000 just to become a member, and then every year you have to pay an additional $9,600. Which,
and what does that get you over the bronze?
It a whole lot. You get six driver guest passes. You're a second priority for garage rentals
to pay more money.
Basically, you've got free slots reserved for you at third-party events. You get more guaranteed track time. Your contract term is a lifetime term rather than a bronze, which is only 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there unlimited times during the year.
It's lifetime with an asterisk.
It is lifetime with an asterisk, which, you know.
Membership expires in 2056.
Which means if you live too long.
Right.
Yeah. But it's something that I'll never be able to afford. And
well, not with that attitude.
I'll never be able to afford. But if for those who can, they should. That's the way I would put
it's
it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fantastic
place. Come on,
list.
Dream bigger than that. Maybe someday.
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 Well, Stephen, the
wish
the
I were dead.
I'm going to find you know what's going to happen is I'm going to find an unscratched lottery ticket in the next press car I get, and I'm going to scratch it off and win so much money.
The Mega Millions jackpot for tonight is $125 million.
No.
Well, if you get the R8 Spider, I heard someone was driving it in the snow.
Yeah.
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 Cars.com.
All right. Jeff, number two.
Yes.
I believe you are next on the
list. I am next.
You had three choices here. These are pretty clever. You definitely thought outside of the box.
I know, because I sat down late last night before I went to bed, and I was half asleep and went, oh, geez, I got to send these guys three wish lists. What do I do?
What do I actually want? Oh, my goodness.
And anyhow, we'll start with that R8 Spider in the snow. We'll do that backwards because that was my number three choice, was a convertible. You said these could be flights of fancy, too. A convertible
absolutely.
That's good for all weather. I want to know why somebody can't make some vehicle that is practical in the winter, fun in the summer. All-wheel drive, lots of room, hard top. So in the winter here, you know, you can still drive it every day. Then in the summer, you take the hard top down. Of course, all-wheel drive is good for traction. You have a lot of fun.
See, I can't give you the hard top on this one, but have you met the Nissan Murano Cross Cabriolet?
That's what made me think of it. And that's why I wish somebody would make something like that.
Well,
because
if they
I was
screwed
hoping
up,
it would be like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
If they screwed up so much on just two of those three, making the Cross Cabriolet, just imagine if they tried making it a hard top, too.
I can't even imagine
proportions would
how,
be so awful.
Yeah,
with this.
You're playing with fire here by trying to get all three in one wish.
But what made me think about that was when I heard about the Murano Cross Cabriolet that has nothing to do with the Murano, really, kind of looked a little odd at the LA Auto Show. It just wasn't what I was expecting, but I'm thinking, why can't you really make a vehicle like that that somebody could enjoy in all sorts of weather?
Since there are 37 versions of the Porsche 911, isn't there a cabriolet version of the Carrera S4,
but they're,
Carrera 4S.
They are not hardtop convertibles.
Yeah, would you take that out in the snow? I'm just
there's
talking
no
about
room.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned the R8, the Audi R8, and I figured there's more room in a 911 there isn't.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just thinking of that. Yeah. Just
well, what about like what say now? This may not be that practical or affordable, but what if you had like a BMW 7 Series size car, or maybe even a little smaller 5 Series size car, with a retractable hardtop, but still four doors.
Still want that all-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah. Well,
throw that in, too.
I think the closest I can
sold.
The closest
that'd
I can
be a
go
really,
like this.
Yeah, that'd be a great car.
Well, that'd be like an old, like, from the 30s, they'd have the dual cowl Phaeton cars.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't necessarily need two cowls, right. But it'd still look really cool to see this big four-door sedan. Like the Continental you were talking about, Jeff. No, Eric, sorry. Your friend has the, was 65, you said?
Yeah.
That's not a hard top.
Yeah. You can't get all-wheel drive on the 3 Series convertible, but you could on the Audi A5 and S5.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, all-wheel drive convertibles, but they're
soft top.
They're also, especially in the case of the S5, low to the ground, performance-oriented.
Yeah, right.
It's not the greatest winter car, but it's still a lot of fun.
So a hard top, all-wheel drive, and space, I think the only one is the Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
I thought of the Wrangler when I thought of that, but I wanted size too, so that was the thing that ruled out the Wrangler.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't
Hummer H1 then.
Hummer H1
and
with a chainsaw.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Luke in our chat room wonders what you'd think of a Juke convertible, a Nissan Juke convertible.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be cool.
I
drove
the
Juke just a couple of weeks ago, and that car, I had that for a week, and it grew on me as the week went on. When I first started driving, it's okay, this is nice. And then the more I drove it, the more fun it was.
Right.
Yeah, the Juke is a lot of fun to drive. It's just, sorry, I cannot get over that front end. It's just painful to look at to me.
Well, I had the Juke at the same time I had the Nissan Leaf, because they just sort of, the Leaf just, you know, they were getting us to those of us who were jurors on the Car of the Year Award just as they could get it to us. It was fine, I'll take it. And when the two were apart, I thought they kind of looked alike. Then I put them side by side, and they really didn't. But
interesting.
There were some styling cues.
Yeah,
interesting.
Which brings me to my next wish. See how?
Look at that.
You tell he's a professional. He knows how to segue.
I can just segue right into these things.
He's good, Ben.
Pure electric vehicle that's both affordable and practical. And it'll be a while before it's affordable, and probably, I don't know, never before it's practical. But what really disappointed me in thinking about the Nissan Leaf when I was in it, and it's a cool vehicle, no knock on electric vehicles, but the range of that is about 70 miles realistically. They say 100, but 70 was about what I was getting in this weather. And although there have been great advancements in batteries, great advancements in size and practicality, the EV1's range 15 years ago was about the same thing. So they really
with lead acid batteries.
Yeah, so they really haven't done anything to improve the range. and you don't really realize range anxiety till you have it. And you're going to Google Maps all the time to try to figure out how many miles you have to this place. And, oh, gee, well, when I got the Leaf, stations in Southfield, and we've already established I live in Northville. I took it to an APA, Automotive Press Association event downtown. I took it home. As I'm pulling off of the freeway in Northville, I'm getting the 13 miles of range left. So I could drive from Southfield to downtown Detroit to Northville. So that killed the idea that I had that Sunday of taking it downtown for the Lions game, because what happens if I get stuck in post-game traffic? That's it. And Nissan also told me when they loaned me it, you know, if you get in a traffic jam, just turn off the heat.
Your fingers and toes will
Well, it doesn't
turn
matter,
black,
but you still have a battery. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mention that. Over the summer, I drove a Japanese-spec Mitsubishi iMiEV.
Does Mitsubishi still make cars?
They do. Okay. They do, in fact. But what was funny is they said a similar thing where I was told that if I got stuck in traffic to not use the air conditioning. And they said, and just crack the windows. And it was 85 degrees that week. And they specifically said, you know, drive it slowly. Don't use the radio. Don't use the air conditioning if you can help it. But I agree with you. Range anxiety is a very real thing. And you don't really realize it until you're going to get into your car to go somewhere. And you get to where you're going. And then you have to realize, okay, I need to go straight back home. I can't go run another errand on the fly.
These are essentially very posh versions of a Model T.
I thought the Model T had more range, but it has the same
heater system, same cooling system.
No, the heating system was actually very good. It was so good at drinking.
But I'm saying you almost have to bring your blankets and your hats in the cold weather just because in case.
You've got something there, because the people who are really going to buy these are people who consider themselves pioneers of EVs. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to see if we could take it to the next level. And I would love to see a Chevy Volt system that would have, say, a hydrogen onboard recharger. And eventually, hopefully, they'll get to something like that, because that seems to be the logical solution. But one thing, you hear this, it's a great commuter car, back and forth. Until you're really planning it, you don't realize how many spontaneous trips you have in a given day. Mm-hmm. And these vehicles take a lot of the spontaneity out of life.
Exactly.
You got to plan it, basically.
Right.
You do. You have to know exactly where you're going, how far of a distance it is to get there, and then including the time to get back. And you can't go out of that unless you've got a place to plug in along the way.
Well, here's an idea for you guys, and maybe this is a bad one, but you can tell me. What if you assigned a numerical value to every feature in the car? The radio gets a 2, heater gets a 5, power windows a 1. As long as you don't go over 7, when you add all those numbers up, you'll be okay. You'll get a certain range.
The range was enough math for me.
Yeah. So why does this feel like Apollo 13? Can't use that. Use too much juice.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know I'm not the first person to use that in now.
Yeah,
Well, Jeff, what was your final?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is why I was thinking, because I was going through this last night. What do I say? And the first one I put down was a more manageable schedule for auto show press days, because everything's crammed into day one, nothing for day two. So we'll give people a glimpse into the life of those of us who live at Cobo Center for a couple of weeks in January.
Yeah. Where, of course, they hold the North American International Auto Show.
Right. A couple of years ago, they had 3 press days with most of the introductions spread out over the first 2 and a couple things thrown into the third one. Well, then came the recession. There were fewer introductions. So last year they had 2, and it seemed like everybody wanted everything in day one. This year, everything is in day one.
And there's 35 debuts.
It starts at 5:30 a.m. and goes to 8:30 p.m. with one thing crammed after another.
Yeah.
And it's not even the long day. I spend that length of a day at the auto show to begin with, but it's the fact that news – if you take a look at the word, the first 3 letters are new. So I'm not going to report on Tuesday something that happened on Monday. And there's all of this stuff, all of these cars, everything that's competing for attention the same day. And from a news standpoint, things are going to get lost in the shuffle. There is going to be an interesting car, an interesting comment somebody made that would have gotten on the air had they set it on Tuesday, but will not get on the air because they set it on Monday because it got lost by what Dan Akerson of GM happened to say or some really cool new concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Roundabout's for.
That's what Roundabout's
for. We pick up
for.
The pieces, you know.
You pick up the pieces.
We find the Scion TC release series and, you know, we give it its 10 minutes in the sun.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Well. So, very good choices, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, thinking outside the box. We went for the commercial type stuff, but very good stuff. I had a couple of selections here that I thought were cool. I want to get a race car bed.
Oh, I had one, but I was six.
Yeah. Well,
I was
gonna
say Craig's 13 again.
These aren't your regular car beds. These are like literally old, Ben, an old classic muscle car that they make and they cut and
you
allow
never
you to
do
accommodate.
Want to get married, do you?
No.
Well, the only reason he picked this particular one is because there's a woman in the bed, and that's something he'll never experience.
It doesn't come that way, Craig.
Oh, that hurts, Eric. So yeah, very
right
cool.
To the core.
I know.
I try.
He's been stewing over there all this show, just thinking of these barbs.
I could just
pissed off.
Who's barb? I was thinking of my wife. If I brought home, honey, I got this great gift for you for Christmas. You know how much you like Mustangs? I got us a Mustang bed. Woohoo!
Well, the one that the young lady is reclining on is a 1960 Impala. And it's sold, is no longer available, unfortunately, but it's sold for a paltry sum of $4,900.
Oh, my gosh.
for a car bed. So clearly you guys don't like
my... Did it come with sheets, at least?
The
wow.
Thread count.
I'm looking at this now. This isn't just the Mustang. This is the Mustang Ranch.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
That pink color, that would look good.
Yeah. I mean, it, if you're colorblind or partially colorblind, it just goes with everything. And...
That reminds me of the Bill Clinton comment about the AstroTurf in the back of his El Camino. Yeah, I would just love to have a little bed like that. That'd be cool. We'd be great. It'd be wonderful. You know, I could just see you in that. You're just cute. You can put it in a double wide. Not a problem.
He does voices, too.
Yeah. It's better than your Lutz.
Yes, yes. Definitely. So, okay.
I'm never getting invited back here, I can tell.
No, it's just weird for us to have, you know, a professional around.
Exactly. We're ashamed of ourselves.
It's been a long week, and this is kind of a fun way to unwind.
It's been a long week.
Yeah. So keeping with the furniture theme, I have another article of something you can sit on, and that is the oil drum rocker. What's that seat?
I was going to say, this is cool.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
Yeah. It's essentially a chair, a rocking chair, that they've made out of an old oil drum. They have turned it on their side, cut out part of the curve of the drum, and fashioned it, very craftily, might I add, into a seat.
Well, Craig, when you get that plasma cutter for your garage and working at Milan Dragway, I can get you all the fuel drums you want to create such a thing.
We could sell these on the side, Eric.
We probably could.
Roundabout seats. Look, Ben, could you fabricate a sticker to go on the end there, the flat part?
Absolutely.
Row absolutely. What's that, Jeff?
For the roundabout version, we should leave off the protective rubbery substance on the edges.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the adventure.
Yeah. Part of Roab is the
rawness, right?
Yeah, the rawness, exactly.
As your thighs start bleeding as you scrape them on this jagged metal edge.
It's not roundabout without a little bit of leg chafing.
We'll get the gold bond.
That's our new slogan. I'm putting that on a shirt. Have it by the end of the show.
Should it come with some gold bond medicated ointment?
Probably.
Or cornstarch if you want to save money.
I don't know, but we could do that and then have a delivery program where we send them to Florida in a Cadillac DTS.
Did you just say program?
Program. Like pilgrim.
Stephen Ewing, the 70-year-old Baptist minister from Louisiana.
That's me.
Yep. So, yeah, a very cool oil drum rocking
chair. You look
different
in person. Yes. I've been told that.
Oil drum rocking chair. Very cool gift. Hint, hint. And the second item on my wish list, holiday wish list, this is very unobtainable, I think, Ben, but I don't think it'll ever happen. That would be sponsors for the Roundabout podcast, so we could actually get some form of remuneration for our efforts.
Now, you're as negative as old man Ewing over there right now.
Get off my lawn!
See?
I know. Being a Debbie Downer.
I think he just wanted to use that word all week.
Remuneration. That was his Webster's word of the week.
I think I've got $5 I could give you. Would that help?
Could buy a Jimmy John's sandwich, maybe.
I had that for lunch.
Jimmy John's rock.
Yesterday.
They're very good. Very good.
I might have one tomorrow for lunch.
Do Thank it.
You. So, Jeff, would you be interested in sponsoring the Roundabout Podcast?
Wait a second.
And we can only have the piece of paper that fell out, right?
Yeah.
You're welcome
to
the
change back.
I think
grab it. It might have a social security number on it.
I think that's a no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, sponsors.
Hey, I bought that social security number fair and square from some guy in the street.
Paid him $1,500.
Yep. Ooh.
Took it home.
Right with that Rolodex watch you sold me.
It's a pretty watch.
Now that's Rolodex with two L's, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So those are my two choices, a car bed and or a oil drum rocking chair, as well as sponsors for the show.
So he'll be looking for that in his stocking.
Yes. Now, Ben, do we have Shelley on the horn yet?
Actually, no, we won't be having Michelle on the podcast, Craig.
Oh, what's happened?
Oh, I'm sure she'll tell us all about it later.
On one of the other shows we are recording tonight. Yes, shows, plural, more than one.
But you won't hear it for a week. So
but those of you in the live chat, you've got a whole lot of watching and listening to do.
It's an all-you-can-eat buffet of watching and listening.
Mm-hmm. Cancel all
your
plans.
We're not going to turn anyone away. No.
No. Oh.
So, okay, we have just finished our holiday wish list for 2010. Very good selection, very good choices, guys. I've been impressed by some of these, not so much by others. But we are going to take a quick break, and when we get back from that, we're going to go to our blind spot story of the week, talk a little bit about the Tata Nano. We're also going to go in the garage and talk about some of the vehicles we've been driving this past week. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. But now I would like to take a moment to talk about the Roundabout Emporium. Ben, are you familiar with the Roundabout Emporium?
No, do tell.
Well, if you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com.
What's that again?
Roundaboutshow.com. Jeff, feel free to go there anytime. You've got the iPad, virtual keyboard, just type that right in.
Not a problem. I also have a life, but that's
He is a firebrand. So if you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, you will see in the sidebar, which
Wait,
is
I'll tell you about my bachelor party sometime.
Oh, my God. That'll be an extra. That'll be a blooper for the end.
Okay.
If you go to roundaboutshow.com, on the sidebar, it's on the right-hand side of the page, you will see the Roab Emporium link. It's at the bottom. You can go ahead and click on that button, and it will open up our Cafe Press site, which is a great place where you can buy all kinds of awesome Roundabout branded swag. We have t-shirts for men and women, hoodies. Steven, you love hoodies.
I do love hoodies.
And we've got one with Old Man Ewing on there. Have you pre-ordered yours yet?
I have not pre-ordered my Old Man Ewing hoodie yet.
He's on a pullover, Jeff. Can you believe that?
My face on a pullover.
I've been in radio 36 years, and I've never had my face on a hoodie.
Well, or a polo. Until today.
Or even a Snuggie.
Oh, see.
If magic
and
Photoshop.
Customize Snuggies.
That should have been my Christmas wish.
Get yourself on a t-shirt or
get
a
myself on, yeah.
I so want to get
I think that would be frightening, but go on.
I want to get my limited edition Jeff Gilbert Snuggie.
WWJ News Radio 950.
Very limited edition.
So, yeah, you can get an old man hoodie, Old Man Ewing hoodie, with all of your favorite sayings such as, I wish I were dead, and that's a lot of percents, Craig.
Although that was considerably friendlier, Ben, for Old Man Ewing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot grouchier.
Anyway, we've got a wide selection of clothing. You can get t-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of great stuff, a baseball, a trucker hat. Come on.
How many of these have you actually sold?
In the dozens. The low dozens.
You've got a lot of relatives.
We do. We also have a variety of drinking vessels, a coffee cup, a beer stein. Ben, you just picked yourself up that Roab travel mug as well.
Mmm, that's good liquid Roab.
It is actually a very high-quality product, the travel mug in particular. It's very solid.
A drinking vessel?
Yes.
That's what they called the Exxon Valdez. It didn't work out well for them.
This will not leak all over here. Your beaches. But
this will not leak on your otters or penguins.
Otters? There's a pause there, Jeff.
I was going to say something else, but I refrained.
Thank you.
So, yeah, and of course, we have stickers as well if you want to spread the Roab love. You can order a couple of stickers. Great stuff. Again, it's the Roundabout Emporium. You can find it from our website, roundaboutshow.com. Just click on the link in the right-hand sidebar. Or you can go to cafepress.com/roundaboutshow. All kinds of great stuff there.
There's a zip-up hoodie there with my name on it.
Literally.
Oh, there's literally one with my name on it, too, but...
So, yeah, Roab Emporium, great stuff. And with that, I think we can move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we have, we've got a news bite about the Tata Nano, the very inexpensive, or world's cheapest car, really. I mean,
it's a sad little car.
I have driven one.
I have two.
You've driven one?
I've driven one. Okay, well, probably the same one.
Yeah. Well,
around a parking lot.
Where did you
drive? You want to know why I think it's not selling? People found out it was a car. Well, they heard the name Tata, they got, really excited. Yeah.
build it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's a car.
Oh, dear. So, okay.
All right.
We've got a story here from the it's from the New York Times, but we've got it on the Yahoo Finance site. Evidently, the Nano.
I did it on WWJ about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but that's fine if you guys.
Well, this is new news, right?
Okay.
Well, we're picking up the pieces, remember?
All right. Yeah. And I can't remember who I stole it from back then. Beforehand.
Who wrote it and who did you just copy and paste?
No, I saw it online somewhere.
Okay. But the Tata Nano is evidently not selling well.
Hey, seriously, all the dumb jokes aside. My understanding is the biggest problem is credit, because you're talking about a car that was theoretically for people who were moving up from motor scooters, and $2,500 for these people is a lot of money, and banks, even in India, don't want to loan money to people who can't show visible means of paying it back, so that's been the difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because the article says they only sold 509 of them in November.
And early on, a lot of the people buying them were people who were buying them as curiosity items. Mm. People who had a ton of money, had another car, but wanted this little bitty thing just as a conversation
support
piece.
India and Indian industry, maybe.
No, I mean, I think it just was something like we're talking about our wish list. You didn't buy the monster truck because you wanted it to be your daily driver. You thought it was cool. Mm. So right. There are people in India who thought, okay, yeah, I'll have my Land Rover, but I'll also have my Nano, too.
Right, and by the same logic, the people who can afford more will get a more expensive car because, to them, and I mean even to people, if the only reason why I would ever buy a Nano is if I had a whole fleet of other things to drive and just, out of curiosity.
You were looking to start a bonfire?
Yeah, if I needed a quick fire source, yes. I'd buy a Tata Nano. Yeah,
but which of the 589 sold, how many were replacements for ones that had?
Well, I think they'd have refunded your money if the warranty or something would burst into flames. But
and of course, you have to realize there aren't a lot of people in India, so it's a very underutilized market. So you wouldn't really expect sales to be all that high.
I believe the current count is 1.15 billion. So. That's
with the CIA fact book over
there. I know.
Here.
But it really is a good lesson in when you have a business plan, every little part of that business plan has to work. And if you miss one thing, something can go from being a huge hit to a huge miss. Now, that doesn't mean the Nano is going to become a miss. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll find a way to finance it, to get it to people, other emerging markets, things like that. But it certainly isn't off to the start they expected.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think there was some pent-up demand that may have that drove the early sales? Because it says in July they sold 9,000 of them. November they're down to 509.
Well,
do you think?
Yeah, it's like the old Thunderbird things like that. Everybody, mm-hmm. everybody who wanted one already got theirs.
So yeah,
yeah. I think a lot of those early buyers were people who wanted it as a curiosity item, and maybe there were some places where, and this is not meant as a joke, where people in an entire village might share one and might pitch in money together to pay cash, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so they could afford it that way. So all of those people probably got it early on, and again, I was reading in the original article that banks were looking for ways to get around the financing mm-hmm. thing and open up some credit and maybe find other ways to get people who didn't have a lot of collateral but had a good work record who were reliable and could pay it off. Because that's all the banks want is they want to know that you're good for the money.
Well, do you think maybe people that were interested in buying the Nano actually drove it and then were quickly disinterested?
No, because the people who were in the market are people who would be thrilled just to have a car.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Well, what was your take on driving it?
It was interesting, but I would think of it, if it ever came to this country and they've kicked it around, I would think of it being like the smart car that people who
it's better than a smart car. Let's just say that.
That has four seats.
Yeah, exactly.
It has a real transmission.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But I really, well, we can go back to the Bob Lutz imitation. Bob Lutz told me one time that we already have $2,500 cars in this country. They're called used cars. And seriously, in this
mark that, Ben. That's a soundbite.
Yeah, he honestly said that because somebody asked him about it when the Nano first came out. Mm-hmm. And generally, that guy's been right more than he's been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people buy for good basic transportation. People who can't you can get cars in every price range in this country. You don't mm-hmm. need a plastic runabout that the world's going to laugh at you in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an old 66 Chevy that everybody will laugh at you in just as easily. And then take it to the Dream Cruiser, you'll look cool.
Yeah.
but seriously, there are other options here, so I don't really think it would work here.
Yeah. No, I don't either.
Yeah. It's interesting that the Nano, that the article has them listed as stickering at $2,900, so I guess it's a little more than the initial $2,500.
You drove one too?
I did drive one.
What did you think of it?
It was a terrible driving car. It was awful. But I liked it. It was so awful I liked it.
Well, yeah.
It was quirky.
It's quirky just because you get to drive – let's face it. You liked it because you got to drive something that your average person didn't get to drive. That's what I got a kick out of it, is it's a great conversation piece. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I actually drove that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still alive.
Yeah. Well, did they let you drive it on the road? I had to stick in a parking lot.
I drove it. I was actually in Germany on a Continental. Oh, okay. Had a media trip, mm-hmm. supplier company Continental. They invited us out there, and they were supplying –
took it on the Autobahn, eh?
Not quite, thankfully, because it's absolutely terrifying. But they did the fuel pump work for mm-hmm. the car, so they wanted to showcase, hey, look, it drives. It works.
But, we swear.
So they had a little – it's like, I think, a 1 kilometer test track at one of their facilities. You could kind of drive it around. And top speed was like 55 or something, equivalent miles an hour. It was awful. And even just going through these turns, very gentle turns at like 35 miles an hour, you felt like the car was going to roll over. And there's a bit of a bank to it, too. It was scary, but kind of fun. Like a big go-kart, really.
Well, you got me beat. Mine was a parking lot in Novi.
Yeah.
Ah.
At the Tata Technologies headquarters.
Hmm. But still, you got to drive it, and like you said, a great conversation piece. Mm-hmm. So that will do it for our blind spot this week. And I believe, Ben, we can now move on to talk about what we've had in the garage.
Hit the remote.
All righty. Steven, Mr. Autoblog.
Mr. Cole.
You are in quite an emotional product this week. Something exciting.
I am in perhaps one of the only AMG Mercedes-Benz products that you could use in the winter, aside from the G-Wagon. I'm in the ML63 AMG this week, which is absolutely ridiculous in every single way. It's a completely absurd vehicle, and I'm madly in love with it.
Hmm.
I'm absolutely in love with it. The noise it makes when you stomp on it. I mean, even the way it looks, it's big, it's brash, it's got giant wheels with huge fender flares, it's got a really aggressive front end, quad exhaust out back. It's serious business, and I can't get enough of it.
That's nearly one exhaust tip for every day of the work week, Stephen.
Nearly.
Where do you work?
Nearly. I said nearly.
Yeah, nearly. This is the sort of SUV that I like the Mercedes ML class, but I would never buy an AMG version of it. That's one where I really like the diesel version. The Blue Tech is great. But I don't think that the ML63 is as good as, say, a Cayenne Turbo or a BMW X5 M. But it's definitely interesting, and it makes me realize that I'm going to really miss that 6.2-liter V8 when it goes away. It's a 6.2.
Well, you're right. Yeah, 6,208 cc's. You're mm-hmm. right.
But I'm really going to miss that engine when it goes away.
Stunning engine. I had it in the E63 AMG.
Yeah, this thing is just it's so ridiculous, and people give you the most, you know, the weirdest looks when you drive by them on the highway, and they go, "What is that?"
And then,
yeah, gone. But then it's loud, it's fast, it's totally in your face, and it's so comfortable. It's got a lot of room inside. I'm totally in love with it.
So this or a Cayenne Turbo?
I would still probably pick a Cayenne Turbo, honestly.
Cajun Turbo?
No.
All right. Well, Mercedes-Benz ML63. What's the price tag on that?
This one is just under $95,000.
So pretty affordable.
Yeah, pocket change.
Yeah. For that journalist salary.
And then you can take it to that club you want to join.
Exactly. I can take it on the track at Monticello, though not right now because – and this is, I think, why I'm loving this so much is it's an all-wheel drive AMG Mercedes-Benz, and I have it on winter tires right now. So it's a perfect, you know, snow suburban assault vehicle, and it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, one, you were in something a little bit different in quite a warmer state, I would imagine.
Yep. I was in the Kia Optima Turbo for 2011, ooh, and I did get to take it on a racetrack.
Is it safe to say that you didn't lose your keys buried under 3 inches of snow?
I did not.
As John McElroy did. This week.
Yeah, he said he was what was he doing some yard work, he said, and then I guess he must have the key in his pocket.
It was before the big snow.
Yeah.
And then he went to leave after the big snow and was like, oh.
Didn't I have So when it's helpful to have a metal detector.
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway.
How did he find them?
He hasn't. Oh, okay. It was the only set of keys.
Called spring thaw.
Right.
So Kia Optima Turbo, Jeff.
It was really cool. They took us to the Palm Beach Raceway in South Florida, which was rather interesting, but it did prove that this car is well built because they let us run on the track wide open, and despite coming back with the tires smoking and the brakes on fire almost, the car's held up pretty well, and they're going straight to the media fleet, so watch out.
I can't wait.
Brake rotor explodes or something.
They said they're going for maintenance. I'm doing air quotes. And then I said, does that mean new brakes and new tires? It says pretty much. But other than that, I was really impressed. I've driven the Sonata, but not the Sonata Turbo. And this car just feels more, I guess, refined than the Sonata. I like the styling of Hyundai, but this has a much better interior.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely – not that the Sonata is ugly, but I think this is a more stylish car.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
This is definitely bringing a new level of styling to the midsize segment.
And you know what's interesting? I haven't driven the turbos yet, but – there are little tweaks to, you know, the standard Sonata and the standard Optima. There are little suspension tweaks, little steering tweaks where I honestly prefer the way the Optima drives.
Hmm. They've optimized it.
They have optimized it.
I've driven the Sonata Turbo briefly, about 10 miles or 12 miles in the loop. And it was good, but it wasn't that different than the regular Sonata other than it felt like, well, it's got a Turbo 4 or what feels almost like a V6 rather than the 4. But even then, it didn't feel like it was that much more power. So,
because, yeah, I drove the Sonata Turbo, and I actually thought the regular base Sonata felt like that engine was straining a little bit. So the Turbo, in my book, took that away. It wasn't like we're going to take it out to the race course and run hot laps with it, but it felt like it was a little smoother, a little more powerful.
Yeah, it was better, but I wasn't like a huge dramatic jump between the base and the turbo.
No, but that's what I think is confusing a lot of people is these days you hear, you know, turbo and you think it's going to be a sports car, but really we need to change the way we think and see Turbo 4 not as – you know, racy four-cylinder, but as more efficient V6.
Yep.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
The Sonata Turbo is kind of, you know, slowly showing people this is what the V6 is going to be now. It's going to be a turbo four-cylinder.
Yeah. Because that was my only knock on the base Sonata was I felt the engine just seemed to be straining a little bit too much.
It's not the smoothest four-cylinder.
Right, exactly. And the turbo took that away.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I can agree with that.
Well,
it was like the – I didn't like the base engine either. I think it's the 2.4 in the Optima. And it does – the turbo adds a lot of power. So you do have that the V6 feel, and it gets decent fuel economy. I just joking around, I was measuring the fuel economy during one of the cars on the test track, and it got like 11 miles per gallon being driven at wide open throttle for 4 hours. So it was pretty funny
That's not bad, in all honesty.
Yeah. Well, the correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, the Optima Turbo, was that on the Nakode for Car of the Year list?
I don't recall if it was on the short list. I know, obviously.
Well, at least in the main
the pool. The three finalists, obviously, the Sonata Turbo was, because the Sonata is one of the finalists. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the Optima was on the short list or not. Yeah, it was on the short list. Not the Turbo, but just the Optima in general.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Nakode, you were recently in one of the finalist vehicles, in fact.
I was.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was the Dodge Durango. And we every time I mention the Dodge Durango to somebody who has driven it, I'm talking about the new one, I get the same reaction. And it's, yeah, I didn't expect it to be that nice. And realize, those of us who are judges for North American Car and Truck of the Year, I'm sure people who listen to this know about how journalists drive press cars all the time because they're into it. But we have this one drive where if you haven't driven it, you get a chance to take it around Hell, Michigan. We call it the drive through hell. And Dodge didn't even bother to put a Durango in that. So I'm thinking that, okay, it's just basically a variation on the Jeep Grand Cherokee. They're not interested. They're pushing the Grand Cherokee, so I'm not even going to worry about it. About 2-3 weeks ago, they call me and they say, you want to drive a Durango? Okay, sure.
Definitely.
And all of it blew me away. I was shocked. It is not a badge engineered version of the Grand Cherokee. I like it a lot better than the Grand Cherokee. It is very stylish. It turns heads. I was noticed in it by a number of people who said, wow, that's really nice. Driving experience is nice. Interior is nice. Price tag, I think, is a little bit steep. But if you compare it to a similarly loaded Ford Explorer, probably would be about the same because this was the Citadel model. But again, it just – I thought it was a great vehicle. Mm-hmm. And when they announced the finalists this week, I gave it a few of my points, but I thought, well, maybe not all the judges would have been in it, so I didn't think it had much of a chance to be a finalist. Now it is.
It's impressive. The Grand Cherokee and the Durango are both –
and the Durango were both in there. Yeah. Right. My preference of those two would be the Durango. I'm going to have to vote again, and I'm still laboring over the Durango versus the Explorer, and I got to give that a little bit more thought before I decide what to do because they both have strong attributes.
Any predictions for the winners of both awards?
One prediction that I will make is it will not be a repeat of last year when Ford won both categories.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there is no Ford car
finalist.
safe bet.
Yes. Yeah.
You should have been on our prediction show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in politics.
Okay. You want a gut check? Gut check. We'll say Volt and Explorer.
Really, the Explorer.
That's just a gut check.
That's it.
As I said, I'm not even saying who I'm voting for, and I want to think about how much I want to give each, and I would really. I haven't had a chance to take an Explorer home. I just went on their drive program. That was impressive. But as you guys know, drive programs are one thing.
Right.
And taking a car home is another. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days before you pick up something you really like or really dislike about a vehicle.
Exactly.
I've had that experience with the both the CTS wagon and the sedan. Is there were like, yeah, nice cars, nothing special. And then just like the day or two before they're picking up, you're like, I really, really, really like this car. You know, just like,
don't take it away.
You know, exactly.
I will say about the Car of the Year awards, specifically the car part, I almost don't want the Volt to win. I absolutely think it's a great piece of technology. I'm glad GM did it. It's out. They've done it. It's a remarkable accomplishment for them. But there are a couple of things. I've spent very limited time in the Volt, but there are a couple things about it that they aren't quite there for me. But in my mind, the Sonata as a whole package, when you consider the base car, the turbo, the hybrid, the fuel economy, the price, the styling, and what it does for Hyundai, that whole package is more, you know, I'm using quotes here, Car of the Year to me than the Volt, which to me seems more like Tech of the Year.
But see, and to me, that's one of the wonderful things about that award is you've got 50 different people voting on it from 50 mm-hmm. different perspectives. And I've had discussions with people last year, we were talking about the Buick LaCrosse that was a finalist and the Ford Taurus that wasn't. And the person I was talking to, I really thought highly of the Ford Taurus. He was like, well, you know, I think the styling on the LaCrosse is better. But I was, well, yeah, but the Buick, but the Taurus has all this great technology. So you've got one person who's looking at it from a styling area, one person who's looking at it from a technology area, somebody else who has a totally different feeling, and all of this converges, and you end up with something that nobody likes. No. you end up with more of a consensus than anything else. So I really like the way that that they put that together.
But really, they're all winners because they're all excellent.
Yeah,
they get that far.
Yeah, they are. And,
I mean, just to be shortlisted for Car of the Year is a big accomplishment, honestly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, very good. We'll have to check with you after the winners, the final winners are announced, and see if the Volt and the Explorer are the choices.
I've been wrong before.
Once.
Twice. <Don't. laughs> Yeah. I once thought I made a mistake, and I was
wrong. Turns out you were wrong. And with that, we can move on to our next segment, which is Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, you have handpicked several vehicles for us this week, per usual.
So well, first of all, you may want to explain to our guest how this game works.
It is.
Right?
So basically what we've got here, Jeff, since this is your first time on the show, Ben has gone through and is it a computer program or?
I've got a supercomputer. You can't see it under the desk, Jeff, and don't look, but I've got it. And don't mind the fumes when I start it up.
But basically,
is that a Commodore?
So basically what Ben does is he selects a handful of vehicles for us, random vehicles, and we have to match that vehicle to a particular driver. Okay? So
this is like a subliminal test.
Personality type thing. Okay. Yeah. So Ben, I think the best way to do this is just go around the table and demonstrate to Jeff.
Exactly.
So, what is our first vehicle pick here? What have you got?
Well, let me see. All right. Pick number one. It's described in Craigslist as a Ford show truck trade for Hydro Stream HST Eliminator muscle car or whatever. So take a look at
in
it.
In Coventry, Rhode Island.
Yeah. What would you say? Describe this truck, Craig.
It is an F-250. It appears as though it's got some suspension work done underneath.
And it's got flames.
It's like it's an 88 F-250, and it has some. It's a blue color, and it's got these flames all over it, and a skull painted on the side. He's asking $7,500 for the whole thing, and it cost him well over $25,000. So make a reasonable offer.
Mm-hmm. So I'm supposed to tell you about the owner of this vehicle?
Yes. Who
do you think would drive this?
I honestly think that he's selling it to raise bail money.
I think that's enough said. That describes it perfectly. I don't even think any of us.
No, that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Right answer.
Anybody else want to take a stab at it? Jeff Ross.
Well, we could guess what he was in jail for and need to get bailed out.
Racketeering?
I'm going to guess it has something. I was going to say it has to do with alcohol somewhere.
I think it has to do with the girl who owns car number two.
Somebody's peeking. Oh, that is bad, Jeff. That is inappropriate. Anybody else want to
back more often?
Yes. Anybody? Eric, any idea? Or does bail money pretty much?
Yeah, I was trying to think of. I didn't realize there were rednecks in Rhode Island, but.
Well, that was the dumping ground for the Puritans, criminals, as I recall.
Although I do have to say one of my favorite TV shows, which was on Showtime, took place in Rhode Island. And, of course, the name of it escapes me. But it was it was the tale of two brothers where one brother was, like, in the state senate and the other one was a criminal. I'll think of it in the name. No, it was on Showtime and I can't think of it, but it was a great show.
I will say
very
that.
Very memorable.
Alcohol was involved somewhere with this purchase and the crime. that was committed.
All right. Well, Steven, who would drive our second? Well, Ben, first you got to pick it.
Oh, yeah. This is all done randomly. It's not me. In Las Vegas, by the way. Mm. All right. Our second one has actually expired from Craigslist, so I don't have the description, but luckily I saved the image. It's a custom pink buggy.
Literally.
And this looks like something Michelle might have found under her Christmas tree a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Like just a Hot Wheels almost. Mm-hmm. Power Wheels. Power Wheels.
Actually, it's more like Ed Big Daddy Roth, but...
This is the gift that you give to the girl who in her stocking gets those blingy cell phone charms and the press-on diamonds.
The rhinestones.
So she can have the bedazzled iPhone. So she can text her friends while driving it. Because you know she does.
After drinking, probably, too.
After drinking a Zima.
What is it with you and the Zima, Steven? You brought that up a few weeks ago.
It's just so bad.
Okay. I just can't go on because it reminds me too much of a girl I knew in college, so I'll just
the
pass.
Zima or the car?
The car.
Oh, God. Eric?
To answer the other question, the name of the series was called Brotherhood. But this looks like, as far as the particular car, it looks like some kind of weird real-life Barbie car.
You're right, because of the hot pink color, I think. And then it looks like a cartoon almost.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like, you know, it's not Barbie Malibu. It's more like Barbie Correct. Jersey Shore.
Yes, yes. And, of course, if you're listening to the audio podcast, you can check out all of these cars on our website, roundaboutshow.com. Just hit the show notes on our website. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jeff there a Ross. Cartoon that had a dune buggy in it?
Speed like, buggy.
This looks like his girlfriend, maybe. Speed buggy's girlfriend.
Come on, dink, dink, come on.
You know,
it's like reliving
like
my youth.
Penelope girls
Pit Stop or something.
Yeah, this is very Penelope Pit Stop. Yeah. You're right.
Remember the Seriously Blonde movies?
Yes.
It was like Reese Witherspoon's yeah. debut.
Oh, Legally like Blonde.
Legally
yeah,
Blonde.
Yeah,
Legally
yeah, yeah.
Blonde. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that you're right. Or Clueless.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Or Bull Durham.
All right, Ben, what is our third and our final vehicle? Can you pull that up?
I'm pulling. And.
Come on, seven.
Jackpot!
Take you to Vegas, or at least Windsor.
I know.
Ugh.
Oh, this one's a beauty. This one comes from Saskatchewan.
Up in Canada.
It's the Paris of the North.
That's right. This is a septic truck.
Paris was Saskatchewan of Europe.
One of those two.
Okay.
Specifically, this is being sold by White Bear Septic Services. And I don't know.
You know who drives
this? Much more?
Is this the truck that killed that kid on the bicycle?
No, that's right.
Oh, that was in Michigan, first of all. Unless they tried to... Well,
they ran.
It's yes. doomed. It's a haunted truck now. The haunted septic truck. They're trying to get it.
Scrub that blood and gristle off. But you know who would drive this? An asshole.
Septic gig.
Guys, a little slow on the uptake there.
No, I just laugh when things are funny.
Yeah. Ever see the vacation movies and Cousin Eddie?
Yes.
This is something he'd drive.
Yes, exactly.
It's
yes.
a 2001 Freightliner with the 3126 Caterpillar engine and an Allison automatic transmission. Excellent heat and air conditioning, heat which you will need in Saskatchewan. Canada is very cold. Front tires are 70%, rears are 85%, single axle. Everything described is less than 1 year old. PTO with hydraulic pump. Fruitland 500 pump. I'm assuming that's.
I don't know if I want to taste that fruit.
Yeah, that's.
Those are some apples.
Heated valves. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe you can pump in the wintertime.
If you're in the septic business, believe me, you know what that means.
Hoist and full rear opening doors.
There's probably someone
in there and cleaning it out
saying, "Oh, that's got the Fruitland 500. It's got the upgrade.
You normally get the Fruitland 450, but this has got the 500."
All I can say is I can't think of a single way I'd rather spend $53,000.
Exactly. It's a lot less than your AMG.
It is, exactly.
Don't forget, Stephen, that is our best offer, so
or
it could be a lot
offer.
Less than that.
Oh, yeah.
Jefferson.
Is that 53,000 Canadian?
So that'd be
I bet it is.
You know what? That's 54,000 US.
Oh. See, now I don't want it. Yeah.
Well, Jefferson Ross, who would drive one of these?
I bet you see these
Canadian
in Florida all the time.
With a trucker hat? I don't know.
He'd be on the ice road truckers. He's
the name on the side of the truck says White Bear Septic Services. I'm guessing the guy who drives it is named Bear.
Why wasn't it the Black Bear?
Bear, we got a problem.
You got to believe that the only things that rode shotgun were his bulldog or a dead hooker.
What about Brown Bear Septic?
Honey Bear.
That would have been a much better name for the show. Oh, Brown Bear.
You do not want to hit one of those when it's out on the road, let me tell you.
Oh.
No, stay away. No. But very good random picks, Ben.
Thank you. Completely random.
Random.
I don't know why he's selling this.
He probably needs some bail money.
Bail money.
Well, you know, he couldn't cover the finance charges on that.
Yeah,
that
maybe
Fruitland pump.
Oh, maybe his new truck has the Fruitland 1000 on it.
Oh,
Dilt, it's powerful enough to turn the hose
and
inside
that,
out.
At this point, when the guy who the same guy Jeff that you talked about that's listening to this, as soon as I said Fruitland 1000, he just went, "Hey, I've got that one."
But this, I think, is a good place to cut this show off, guys. Great job, everyone. We've survived.
Squeeze another one out, so to speak.
I was going to make a joke about the septic service with that one, but I won't.
Jefferson Ross, Autotropolis, down in the Dangle State of Florida. Autotropolis, what is going on in your world, Jeff?
Actually, a lot of stuff. Just posted the first drive of the Explorer. Should have something up about the Optima Turbo. And I'm getting my winter clothes ready for the auto show.
Ooh, next month, January, coming up to D-Town.
Yep.
Oh, boy, we will see you there then, definitely. And we'll you have to give us your impressions of the Explorer, you know, in the coming weeks. Wink, nod.
So later.
Yes. Eric Tritko, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter, webridestv.com, or WeBrides.
Yes.
It's a mail order.
Oh, it's a mail order. WeBrides.
What is up?
Just working on a couple different things. Going to have an evaluation of the Lexus RX 350, which I'm driving currently, and also going to be spending more time working for a social media marketing company that I've begun picking up some work from. So, which
very nice.
Will be nice because that means I'll actually make as much money. I have the chance to make as much money as I did 10 years ago.
Yay!
That's progress.
It is.
Yeah. Clawing your way out of the recession.
Welcome to the new economy.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
Well, welcome back to the 10 years ago.
Right, exactly.
That's something to be happy about.
Well, but, yes and no. Yeah.
Stephen Ewing from the one.
Sorry.
I always get the sad music.
I know.
That was more for
it's
me.
It's your personality. But
I know. I
but
understand.
Stephen Ewing from the one, the only auto blog. Plug away.
Well, working on a review of the ML63 AMG I'm testing this week. You guys can stay tuned for that. And as we discussed our holiday gift guide earlier in the show, Autoblog has just posted a three-part holiday gift guide with small gifts, medium gifts, and utterly unattainable ones. So go check it out if you've got a car enthusiast on your holiday shopping list.
Sweet.
Very nice. And last but certainly not least, Jeffrey Gilbert of WWJ News Radio 950, our local CBS affiliate here in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm just trying to salvage what's left of my career.
Give us that WWJ.
Yeah, that's the sign. We got to have
the
sign.
No. You know, Ed Sullivan didn't realize he said really big shoe either. So, we're working to get ahead a little bit so I can take some time off around Christmas.
Very nice.
Hopefully, the coming week will be a little less hectic than this last week where we had all of the auto show previews and it seemed like a little news was breaking here and there everywhere, and then gearing up for that giant monster coverage of the North American International Auto Show on the air, on the web at wwj.com, and check it out because we've got a brand new website.
Very good. Can you please give us your sign-off?
No.
You're going to have to go to wwj.com to hear
that one. And, hey, I gave you This Is Roundabout. Isn't that enough?
And we're saving that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. So the next time Michelle has to read it, I'll just plop that in. But thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a good time. We hope you come back in the future. You can watch us live. We record this podcast, webcast it live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30. The Detroit Airport, Jeff, have you heard that?
Sure.
Yes. But that's 3:30 p.m. Pacific time.
I believe I'll see him at the auto show.
Oh. Right there. Akio?
Yeah.
So check us out live Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 Pacific. And will somebody please leave us a message on our Google Voice number? Please drop us a line. Our number is 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, numbers, that is 1-559-762-2411. We would love to hear from you. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. We're twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We are also on the Facebook, the one and only Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you can't find it, search for it. It's there. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes as well as the Zune Marketplace. Do you have a Zune, Jeff?
I don't have a Zune. I have an iPod, iPhone, and
you're a normal
iPad,
person, then.
No Zune.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't even know anybody who has a Zune. Do you?
Yeah. Oh. Craig and six others.
Yes.
Okay.
We're the silent majority.
That was generous, but yeah. Okay, we'll say six.
We'll say six. I want to give him a little credit here.
So, happy holidays to everyone out there. Merry Christmas. Joyous Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah, although that's over, isn't it, Ben?
I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway.
Happy belated Hanukkah.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you.
They use sleigh bells, right? I think so.
Everyone uses sleigh bells.
Yeah, well, they should this time of year.
It's like a star. It's just that sort of non-denominational happy holidays symbol, or a wreath, even.
Exactly.
So happy holidays to all of you out there listening, and I invite you to join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
That's a show.
You survived, Jeff.
Yay!
Round of applause. And only two more to do. I can't.
Yay!
You probably wouldn't believe that my first job I got in radio, I got fired from for telling too many jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so this brought back memories. Radio I get fired from.
Well, they're never going to hear it because nobody listens.
I would shake your hand too, Jeff, but...
Rub the microphone, just... Yep.
So. That's a little kinky to me, but that's okay.
I was gonna say, I think you just got spanked.
This is Roundabout.
Brilliant.
And we will record that.
That's
yeah.
We will do that every week. Exactly.